Good evening, everybody, and a warm welcome to our Sunday morning service. It's good to be back here in the house of the Lord. We do give you a special welcome. Welcome if you're visiting also, and a very special welcome to a man that we haven't seen for a while, but it's a very warm welcome back, Ian Ross.
Thank you, Andrew. Delighted
to see you here again, Ian, so we do welcome you back. With the minister away these last couple of weekends, Ian has very kindly agreed to come and minister with us this morning. So we've been blessed with his ministry in the past, and we're sure that we'll be blessed again this morning. Just one or two announcements. There will be tea after the service, so you are welcome to stay behind for a cup of tea or coffee. This evening, the speaker will be our brother Albert, so we look forward to that, 6 o'clock this evening. Meetings go on as usual during this week. It's Cafe MS tomorrow, and then the children's meeting at 6:30. There will be a midweek meeting at 7:30 on Thursday. Now, next Sunday, God willing, it is Remembrance Sunday. The pastor will be back ministering. But do remember, because it's Remembrance Sunday, to be down just a little bit earlier, and the service will really start at 5 to 11. Service will start at 5 to 11, so if you can just be ready and in your seats for then, for Remembrance Sunday next week. So I think these are all the announcements that I need to make for now. Just make sure you keep up to date with the goings-on in the church and the bulletin here. So without any further ado, I'll hand over now to Ian.
Thank you, Andrew. I used to call this soul's armour. You're never used to it. How's that? Okay? Everybody here all right? Thank you. Our call to worship today comes from Psalm 23. We're going to think a wee bit today about Psalm 23. And this is the Sing Psalms version produced by the Free Church, and this is what it says. This is their new one. The Lord is my shepherd, no want shall I know. He makes me lie down where the green pastures grow. He leads me to rest where the calm waters flow. My wandering steps he brings back to his way, in straight paths of righteousness, making me stay. And this he has done, his great name to display. Though I walk in death's valley where darkness is near, because you are with me, no evil I'll fear. Your rod and your staff bring me comfort and cheer. In the sight of mine enemies a table you spread, the oil of rejoicing you pour on my head. My cup overflows, and I am graciously led. So surely your covenant mercy and grace will follow me closely in all of my ways. I will dwell in the house of the Lord all my days. It's lovely to be back with you. It's a long time since I saw you. I think it was in February 2016. So that wasn't yesterday. And I've had quite a tough time since then. I had a stroke in June of 2016, I was here. And thank you for all the prayers of the Lord's people and for the services of three stroke nurses who live in Aberdeen and work in Aberdeen. And especially to two very nice speech therapists who taught me how to speak again. And it all happened when my wife said to me one morning, say the grace before we have our breakfast, and I didn't know what she was talking about. And I couldn't say the grace for love nor money. Went to the doctor and he put me in touch with these people. And thankfully, the prayers of the Lord's people had much to do with it, to give me some healing. I have a little malady called aphasia, and not many people have heard of it, but that's where the speech therapist came in and taught me how to speak again, because I was getting all the words muddled up. And if there's any little repetitions today, I trust you will forgive me. We're going to commence our service now by singing to God's praise. And we are going to sing in number 200, I Cannot Tell Why He Whom Angels Worship.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we rejoice in your goodness and your kindness to us today, in bringing us all together in this lovely house. We thank you that we have come to praise you, to give you thanks for all the wondrous things you have done for us in our lives. We rejoice that you have granted to us a very precious and a wonderful Savior in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we have come today to magnify his name, to honor your name and your person as we are together. We thank you for the desire of heart that you have placed in each one of us to be here, to be engaged in worship as we think of how wonderful your works to us have been. We thank you for the words that we have sung concerning our blessed Savior and how he once came to Bethlehem from the eternal glory and took on himself the form of a servant. And he was found as a fashion in fashion as a man, and he humbled himself and went to death on the cross. And we thank you that our Savior's cross is the heart of our message today. And we have come today to be reminded of what you have done for us there. And we thank you that our Savior rose again on the third day, and he is now at your side in glory, making intercession for those who are like we are, poor sinners, saved by your grace. And so we rejoice in being able to come together today, and we ask you to help us in our worship. We pray that as we turn to your word, that you would encourage us and you would challenge us from the words of Scripture. We thank you that this is our way, your way of speaking to us. We rejoice today in all who have managed out, and we remember those who have been detained, whether through work or illness or bereavement, and we ask you to grant them a special portion from yourself today. And we think especially of those who could have been here but have not come. Do touch their hearts with the magnitude of your love, we pray. And so we commend our service to you in the worthy, precious, and almighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I know there's no children's service address today, but I would like to tell you just a little about myself. When I was a young man, from the age of 15 till I was 23, I worked on a farm in Fife. And I met some lovely people there who, some worked full-time on the farm and others were just part-time. And I remember meeting Sandy Cassie, and he was an Aberdonian. And you know, the Fifers had a terrible job understanding what he said. And he was telling us about the day that he came, first of all, to drive trams from Lochore to Dunfermline. And he was told by the inspector to call at a shop at the north end of Cowdenbeath, and the man would give him a box to take into Dunfermline. So when the tram stopped at the north end, sure enough, the man was there with the box. And Sandy says, "Far's it, Gangtel?" And the man says, "It's a bonny morning, right enough, son." And many a time, Sandy taught us about the work he had done on a farm where he was born in Aberdeenshire, making hay, looking after sheep, and he was a brilliant guy. And the Grieve, he was rather grumpy, but very good at his job, and his son, he and I did a lot of work together. We used to have a baler, and we went round baling hay and such like for other farmers. So it was a lovely time. Now that's what we need in St. Fergus, is children, so that we can hear them during the service. We don't have them there, and we pray that we will get them soon. And it's lovely to see the children here this morning. And so there were only two jobs I really didn't like in the farm, and one was burying a dead sheep, and the other one was castrating the little male lambs when they were a few days old. That was quite terrible. But during that time, I learned quite a lot about sheep and what they are. And that gives me a little something to share with you today. And just before we go on, I would like to read this. I just took it from the internet. I thought it was very nice about Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's relationship. "I shall not want." That's supply. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." That's rest. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." That's refreshment. "He restoreth my soul." That's healing. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." Well, that's guidance. "For his name's sake." That's purpose. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." That's testing. "I will fear no evil." That's protection. "For thou art with me." That's faithfulness. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Well, that's discipline. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." That's hope. "Thou anointest my head with oil." That's consecration. "My cup runneth over." That's abundance. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Well, that's blessing. "I will dwell in the house of the Lord." Well, that's security. And finally, forever. Well, that's eternity. And I thought that was quite nice. Let us sing again, this time in hymn 140, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." We're now going to turn to the scriptures as we find them in Psalm 23, first of all, and then in 1 Peter chapter 2. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Over now to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we want to read just verse 24 and 25. That's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Amen. And God will surely bless these readings of his holy word. We're now going to take up the offering, after which we'll dedicate it to the glory of God. We thank you, our God, for the lovely words we sometimes sing. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We remember the words penned by your past servant, John Newton, which come to our minds as we give thanks for the privilege of offering to your work from this church today. He wrote with such humble passion, 10,000 talents once I owed, and nothing had to pay. For Jesus freed me from the load and washed all my debt away. Yet since the Lord forgave my sin and blotted out my score, much more indebted I have been than e'er I was before. My guilt is cancelled quite, I know, and satisfaction made, but the vast debt of love I owe can never be repaid. The love I owe for sin forgiven, for power to believe, for present peace and promised heaven, no angel can conceive. That love of thine, thou sinner's friend, witness thy bleeding heart, my little all can ne'er extend to pay a thousandth part. Nay more, the poor returns I make, I first from thee obtain, and 'tis of grace that thou wilt take such poor returns again. It's well, it shall my glory be, yet who will boast their store in time and to eternity to owe thee more and more. These words, our God, are the language of our hearts this morning. Thank you for the pleasure of giving to your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us sing again, and this time it's one of my favourites, 615, I Have a Shepherd, One I Love So Well. I just noticed the screen there with all the words of the hymns on it, and I had forgotten that that was provided here. Lovely to be back with you, it really is. I never thought I would be ever here again. And I had quite a tough time during the first year or so of what happened to me. And when I came back to sort of taking part, firstly in the prayer meeting we have at St. Andrew's Church on a Saturday morning, and you know, one thing that always strikes me that we never ever know who's actually praying for us. And I can tell you that at that prayer meeting, you're often held up as a congregation before the Lord. Every church in the district is lifted up at that prayer meeting. And going on from the prayer meeting where I had to write the prayers out and recite them, then going on to maybe taking a church service at St. Fergus, then I would need to write everything out. And then when people heard that I was back speaking again, I was invited to other places. And when I went there again, I had to write everything out so that I wouldn't make a mess of what I had for the people. And since then, I've come a long way, and thanks to the prayers of God's people. And we don't know who's praying for us, but somebody has lifted me up before the Lord, and I thank God that we're back to something that is very seemingly near normal. However, what I've done is, in this psalm, because it's a little study as well as preaching the gospel, I set it in little notes that I can refer to as I am speaking. And the first thing we want to look at in Psalm 23 is the setting of the psalm. And it's really wonderful that it's between two other psalms, that's Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. And you could call Psalm 22 the Psalm of the Cross. Because when we read the content of Psalm 22 and compare it with a passage of Scripture like John chapter 19, the similarities of the death of Christ on Calvary with what the psalm prophesied in this particular psalm, it's the Psalm of the Cross. And Psalm 23 is for everybody everywhere. It's a present day thing. It's up to the moment. It's here and now. It's a present psalm. And it can be called the Psalm of the Crook. The shepherd has a crook to help him in his work. So the final trilogy is Psalm 24. And it's the Psalm of the Crown. It's a future thing as well as a past, I believe. Because whether we consider the crowning of Jesus Christ as Lord of all after he rose from the grave and went back to the Father, or whether we think of that coming day that we've seen in our hymns this morning when he will reign the world in righteousness, that's the future, and it's the Psalm of the Crown. So what we're looking at is the Psalm of the Crook in between the Psalm of the Cross and the Psalm of the Crown. The second thing I'd like to look at is the subject of the psalm. And as we look at the subject, there are lots of stuff in there that can challenge us and can encourage us on our day-by-day lives as we live for God in our day and generation. And what I'd like to do is just work through verse by verse. And our first verse, I've called it Sanction and Sufficiency. And the big thing is, we each must ask ourselves, is the Lord my shepherd? I remember when it's the only time I fulfilled the function, and I really enjoyed it, But you know, I was always a contractor's man at construction, and I always did what the boss man, that's the clerk of works, or the engineer told me to do as a contractor's man. But then I went as clerk of works, oblique quantity surveyor, to a job in Lossiemouth Airport, where the RAF are based. And we did up Hangar 2. And the people that were working there were from a firm, the contractors were from a firm working in Northern Ireland. And whilst their quantity surveyor and their general foreman on the site, or their agent, were from Helensburgh in Scotland, where the firm was based, a lot of the men that worked for them came from Northern Ireland. So, good to see you back, dear. I thought I'd offended you for a minute. Thank you. And this man's name was Angus. I mean, it's not, you'd hardly call it a Northern Irish name, Angus. He sounded as though he came from the depth of the Western Isles, but he was truly, when I called him an Irishman, he looked at me straight in the eye and he said, "Never call me an Irishman." He says, "I'm not an Irishman, I'm an Ulster man." So that was the first lesson I learned there, that this man is an Ulster man. And when we got talking later on, you know, he got up when we were all having our tea, and he spoke out Psalm 23 from beginning to end without a mistake. And I said, "That was wonderful, Angus. You know the Psalm of the Shepherd. Do you go to church?" "No," he says, "I don't go to church." I says, "So you don't know the Shepherd of the Psalm. That's the one you need to get to know." And that's the question we must ask ourselves today. Are we in the custody of? Are we united to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ? Is he definitely our Saviour, without any doubt? Because it's only what's done for him in this life that will last till eternity for Christ. Now, when we look at the sanction, it means that people who are entitled to dwell on this psalm, who are entitled to take it for encouragement, are those who belong to Christ. And he is their shepherd. How wonderful is that, to have the sanction to peruse the beauty of this psalm so that it will help us every day in our spiritual journey. And then there's the sufficiency of the first two verses, first verse, the sufficiency that comes from God when we know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Saviour. We go on now to verse 2, and I've called this stillness and satisfaction. Now it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Now, what does it take for a sheep to lie down? Is it an easy thing for a sheep to lie down? Well, I don't know if you've ever seen a cast ewe, but or a cast sheep. It goes to sit down and it falls on its back. And its back is so broad from the feeding that it can't raise itself up again, and it kicks itself to death. And that was the main reason for the sheep that I buried when I worked in the farm. And so, what will it take for any sheep to lie down? Well, there are all sorts of things that have got to be right. And I made a wee list of them just so that I won't misquote. The place that they're sitting down in has to be comfortable. And it mustn't be too flat because they need to roll to get up again. Their sight is excellent. Now, a sheep sees between 190 degrees to 305 degrees, depending on what wool is round their eyes. And that's tremendous line of vision. And so by just, they've got tremendous sight. And as long as there's something there, that as long as there's nothing there, it will stress them, or then it's all go for them to lie down if they don't see anything that upsets them. Their hearing is absolutely excellent as well. And if they hear something that they don't like dogs barking or predators about, no go, they won't lie down. So it's a difficult thing to get a sheep to lie down. His sense of smell is excellent. You know, from the time lambs are a day old, they're taught by their mother to follow. And that's inbred in every sheep from its youngest days, is to follow. And you know, there was a recent report from Turkey that this sheep, it was stressed out one day, and it was sort of the matriarch of the flock, and it led a flock of 2,500 of them into a steep ravine, and each one of them was killed. The follow. And so the sense of smell and the ability that they have to follow is excellent. So they can smell predators a mile away, and they won't lie down if they smell something that's not right. And their sense of touch, and that, I think I've got the two muddled up a wee bit there. The sense of touch is excellent. And other nippy sheep can be a distraction to them. And when we think in the context of the church, I suppose every church has one. I think the Apostle Paul called such a person a busybody, somebody that was more interested in gossip than in the truth. And I suppose every congregation is affected by one or more of them. And it's like that you get yows that they're awful for biting other sheep as they're trying to lie down, and they won't lie down if such a person is about. So it's quite a difficult thing for sheep to lie down. And one of the main things is they've got to have full stomachs, because once they lie down, what they do is they cough it up and they chew the cud. And that was one of the legal requirements in the Jewish law, was for sheep and goats and bulls and heifers. They were all beasts that chewed the cud. And they also had cloven hooves, which made them clean animals. And any animal that didn't chew the cud or didn't have a cloven hoof, then it wasn't allowed in the tabernacle. And so they've got to have full stomachs when they sit down. And as far as church is concerned, our spiritual sustenance comes from the Word of God. And you know, it's meditating on that Word is like the sheep that chews the cud. It just savours what it has gleaned casually as it's eaten. And you know, sheep are good at knowing what to eat and what not to eat. And they indulge when it's there in the best of food. And when they sit down to chew the cud, all the good of this food comes back. And that's how it should be in church. As we hear the Word of God dispensed from the pulpit here or in Sunday school, you can go back and meditate on what has been said and said, how can that improve my spiritual life today? And the other thing, finally, is that they've got to be in a flock. from the earliest days. Sheep flock. The sheep flock. They've got to be together. They've got a big English word called gregarious, and that means that they're in a flock. And you know, if you see a sheep that's lagging behind, following the flock, then you know it's either ill or it's stressed. If you see a sheep, or less than five sheep, on their own, you'll know there's a problem there. And that's one of the problems why you have sheep that go astray, that one gets stressed and the rest follow it. Finally, this verse says, "He leads me beside still waters." Now, you know, you could drive sheep for mile upon mile upon mile, and they'll jump these little burns that are in the youthful state of their existence. In other words, they're flowing. And there's something that the sheep don't like, putting their noses into flowing water. They'll lift their heads as soon as they try. So even although they're thirsty, they won't stop to drink at flowing water. They'll jump the burn and they'll go to the next one to see if they can get a pool. And once they get a quiet pool, there they sit down and there they drink. And this is what the Lord does for us, is it not? He gives us these quiet pools. Beside the river is a great place to be. There are many a song, many a hymn written about going down to the river to pray. It's a place where people want to pray, down at the river, beside the quiet pools. And God gives us plenty of opportunity in our day-by-day lives to lie down with Him beside a quiet pool and to drink from that. We go now on to verse 3. I'm looking at the time. Verse 3. We've got in this verse strength and supervision. That's two great things to have. If you've got that in your congregation, you have something that's really wonderful, is to have leaders of strength and good supervision within the congregation. It says, "He restores my soul." Now, this is a wonderful, wonderful privilege to have the Lord restore our souls. How often we depart the way of faith, how long we dishonor the Savior in what we say or what we do. Sometimes we're quite wrong about things. And we need that special time that the Lord spoke about when you go into your closet before God and you commune with Him, and there your soul is restored. Now, sheep only sleep for about 4 hours a day, and lambs, till about 4 months old, they sleep about 8 hours a day. So, chewing the cud is a great thing for them, and so it is for restoring our souls as we meditate upon the Word of God and share it with our God and Saviour. It says, "He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His own name's sake." Now, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength," says the prophet Isaiah. "They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint." And so, when we look at this little part of the psalm, that "He guides me in the paths of righteousness." When we follow Christ, God gives us wonderful supervision. He looks after us in everything that we would seek to do for him in this life. Is that not the case? We come to verse 4 because I need to hurry now. Support and safety. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, the rod is for chastisement or punishment, and the staff is for support and help. But you'll notice they're just the one instrument. It's the one piece of equipment. It's the rod with a crook on top of it. And God's rod and God's staff are part of the same equipment. And one is used to correct us, and the other is used to support us. Now, how wonderful is that? I remember seeing a portrait of Oliver Cromwell. Now, he led armies in the Highlands, and he gave us a terrible time when he was here. He was a man who overthrew, I think it was Charles I. Not that my history was ever very good. 22, I think, was the best I ever got for it. But there was a portrait of Charles Wesley. And at the bottom it says, Oliver comforts his troops. And there's this soldier, and he's getting out of a trench to go and fight with his sword. But right on his bottom is another sword, and it's Oliver's sword. And it's prodding him to get on and do the business and fight. So the word comfort means that. It means to encourage us. It means to spur us on to do great things for God. So we have chastisement, and we have support, rescue, and safety. And when we come to God, we just leave our problems with him. Now, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I've headed this splendor and surplus. Now, some commentators say that the psalmist goes from the purpose of shepherding, from the heart that's the shepherd's, onto the heart which is the soldier's. But you know, David knew stuff about shepherding, because what he says is about the great banquet that's set before us in the presence of his enemies. And it's just like the feeding trough for the sheep. They come to feed at it, but the hoodie crow is looking on, and the fox isn't very far away. I remember Professor Macmillan, who was the leader of the Free Church College a long time ago. He went a walk up Carlton Hill in Edinburgh and suddenly transpired. He died there and then. But he spent a whole week discussing Psalm 25 down in England somewhere. And he said this. He said he once went to Aberdeen University to further his education, because he was just a shepherd boy when he had to go through university to become a Free Church minister. And he had an altercation in a class with a psychologist who was teaching them, who said that animals don't have intelligence. And he told the man who was teaching him, he told him about the day he was up on the hill, the very furthest outcrop in his croft, just beside the Isle of Mull on the west coast. And as he looked down, he saw this fox. And it was the time of lambs, and it knew there was a soft boggy bit. If it could get the sheep into there, then they would get the lambs. And he said, it worked the sheep better than any sheepdog I have ever worked with. And it guided these sheep to where it wanted them. And he said, I had a very special whistle for the fox. And when I whistled that, it went away. And so we have the enemy as well. And we're engaged in a spiritual battle. And God helps us to do that. Now you anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Well, surely we can say, like the days at the Fank and Dalbeath Farm in Fife, when I had a big, I don't know what you'd call it, a batch or a bottle, a huge rubber bottle, and in it was called foul-smelling stuff called Minel. And as soon as the sheep came up the corridor to go down in to be dipped, I had to catch it by the head, get this nozzle into its mouth, and give it a couple of shots of this horrible stuff. And then you would have to anoint their head to stop parasites and grubs from defacing them. And this is what the psalmist is saying. The tendency that the shepherd has to look after his sheep, that is there. Now I noticed the clock was 3 minutes fast when it started, so if you'll permit me 3 minutes just to conclude. He says finally, if sheep are ill or stressed, they will wander, and others may follow them. And what a promise this is from God, that his goodness and love, and the authorized version says mercy, will follow us with spiritual sustenance during the whole of our lives. And that same Professor Macmillan, he said, if he ever went back to shepherding, he would always have three sheepdogs, and one would be called goodness, the other would be called love, and the other one would be called mercy, and he would follow his sheep, and these goodness, love, and mercy would bring back the wanderers back into the flock. Isn't that lovely? And so, finally, the psalmist says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, the people in this congregation are part of the house of the Lord. And so, when we come to church, we are within the house of the Lord, the people within the church. And so, as long as we live in this life and we attend upon the means of grace, then we are dwelling in the house of the Lord. But we've got that great convocation to think about in the future when Christ will come as King. And there we'll meet him. There we'll see him. There we'll know him. There we'll be like him. What a wonderful, wonderful prospect it is for you and me if the Lord is your shepherd. Thank you for having me. Thanks, Andrew, for inviting me. It's been a pleasure. Thank you. Now we're going to close by singing Psalm 23 to the old version, The Lord's My Shepherd, to the tune Crimond. Number 133. We thank you, our God, that you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies, that you anoint our heads with oil and our cup overflows. And surely goodness and love will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May grace and mercy and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be our portion this day and forevermore. Amen.